Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe. And as always, I'll be joined by former England fast bowler Steve Harmison for what is going to be a really busy show. We'll discuss the latest on the Ashes, as far as we know, as the ECB have confirmed that they will make a decision later on this week whether to send a squad. And we'll also get the view from Australia with Sydney Morning Herald's chief cricket writer, Malcolm Conn. As well as that, we'll look ahead to the start of the T20 World Cup and we'll hear from both Jos Buttler and Timmel Mills. So, plenty to fit into the next hour. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Tommy, we've got to start with the Ashes because that's the raging hot subject at the moment. A lot of people asking, will it go ahead? I think the more pertinent question is, will it finish? I think that somehow it'll go ahead, it'll start, but will it finish?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question. Will it finish or should it start? That, for me, is the big one. Should it start? If Australia is in such a place with their vaccination rollout or of COVID and the border control is like what it is, then why should it start? I don't get this. And I'm not saying this from, you know, from an arrogance point of view. If they can't give us enough information that we're going to play 5 test matches, 5 different venues, cross borders, not going to be a problem, even for the team. We're talking about even the team struggling to get in and out of places. That, for me, tells me that there's too many red flashes. And should it start? Should we be contemplating a series starting if it's not going to finish?
Let's just be completely clear about something. The Sheffield Shield can't go ahead.
That's the problem.
The states are not letting their own countrymen in. South Australia and Western Australia have tyrannical premiers. Queensland, the Tasmanian team last week flew back to Hobart when they had arrived in Brisbane because there were 4 cases of COVID. 4. So, I mean, the point is, if they can't organise the Sheffield Shield, why are they so cocky about the Ashes going ahead? What's Tim Payne doing, saying the Ashes will go ahead whether Joe Root's here or not? We're starting on December the 8th. I mean, there's a lack of empathy just doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, lack of empathy. I thought that was an idiotic comment. What is he playing at? Saying stupid things like that. You can look, man, as we all know, the Australians like to be a bit brash and, you know, a bit, you know, they've got the ego and we're going to sort of front up and put our chest out and we're going to try and run all over you. I thought Tim Payne's comment from an international captain last week about another international captain. I'm sorry, right? I might make that comment. A poor international captain in Tim Payne who barely gets into his own side against one of the best batsmen that's ever played the game of cricket. Captain on his side, I thought that was so disrespectful. It was embarrassing more than anything else. For him to say that, I thought that was not out of order. I just think it was a typical Australian flipping comment, which should come back to bite him on the backside, because just look in the mirror, Tim. Look in the mirror. You've not gone anywhere. You have not gone anywhere to play cricket during the pandemic. Australia have not gone anywhere. You've played test matches in your own country. Even your own teammates can't train with each other because they're from different states and they're not allowed to cross borders. So why make a stupid comment like saying the Ashes will go ahead whether Joe Root comes or not? Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. And I hope somebody that advises him tells him that he's made a mistake there. Because if he hasn't, and he's that egotistical to think that what he was saying was right from an international cricket captain, boy, there must be some serious things going on inside that lad's head.
Just to be clear, Australia did play white ball cricket in the West Indies and Bangladesh, but they sent pretty much a B team. They have not played a single test match apart from the four against India at home. England, during the pandemic, have played 18 test matches, including tours to Sri Lanka and India. So we're not comparing apples with apples when we talk about the test participation of both teams. Let's just hear from Joss Butler, who's one of those players, along with Joe Root and a few others, who's has serious concerns about having his family with him, having just become a father for the second time recently. This is what he had to say a couple of days ago.
I'm sure it will go ahead. Fingers crossed it will go ahead in the best circumstances possible, and families will be able to go and etc. We're just waiting for all that information. It's tough to make a decision when you don't know what decision you're making. And also I think everyone's in a space where we just want all that to be sort of taken care of so people can talk about the cricket. I think that's what we all want to talk about as sports people, as sports fans. The T20 World Cup, the Ashes are massive events, and we don't want it too, and it kind of has to be in this day and age, but we don't want it too clouded by the circumstances around them, and sort of more focus on the cricket.
That was Joss Butler speaking with Booking.com, the official accommodation partner of the ICC T20 World Cup 2021. Hami, you know, as a father, and I've also had young kids on tour once or twice, it's not easy. There's discussion about, well, actually, I think it's a firm offer for the families who go at the beginning of the tour to quarantine in a resort on the Gold Coast, 50 miles outside of Brisbane. And then those who want to go for Christmas and New Year will quarantine at a resort in the Yarra Valley outside Melbourne. But I just don't know whether quarantine is going to work. I mean, especially for young kids.
Young kids, yeah. And that's the beauty about being on tour. And if you do take your family, you desperately want to see them. You've spent a lot of time away from them, naturally, whether in England or in Australia or wherever you tour. So when your family comes, sometimes it's a little bit of an added pressure. There's added worries because you've got to make sure that your kids are fine and everybody's made the trip safely and they get into the new surroundings and everything that goes with that. And Australia is a wonderful place. It's one of the best countries in the world to go and tour. Yes, it would be in quarantine, but it's what the stipulations from the quarantine part of view is it to make it worth your family coming out there? And I don't buy this. Look, I think I'm one of the perfect ones to have comment on this because I've had my family for four of the five test matches in after Brisbane in 2006-07, all the way through till the end of the test series. I had them there for that and it was great. But I also did 2002-03, whole trip, October, all the way through till I think it was the end of February, where no family, my family didn't come because my wife was giving birth. So I've seen both sides of it. And you want your family with you if you possibly can. Players now spend a hell of a lot of time away around the world and they should have their families there if they want to have their families there. And the families should be able to move freely with them as a whole package. And if they can't, I can understand why they're getting upset and irate, because we've got a group of players now, maybe was it five or six players now, who have gotten on a plane in the last 48 hours and they don't know if they're coming home in 6 weeks' time or in 3 months' time. Now, how then do you say it to your kids, who could be ranging from Jimmy Anderson's kids, who are a little bit older or obviously a lot older than Joss Butler, Mark Wood? You know, these have got kids under three, under four. How do you say to your kids, you know, I don't know when I'm coming home. I don't know when I'm coming home. You know, I don't know if you're going to see me in the next 6 weeks. I don't know if you're going to see me in the next 3 months. And that, for me, from a father's point of view, I think that's emotionally, that's tough going as well.
I just want to be very, very clear about one thing, just in case anybody has any doubts. No England player is lukewarm about the about playing in the Ashes. You know, there's not that sort of ho-hum kind of attitude, oh, I'll just do another one. Let's hear from Joe Root. I mean, here is a man who's desperate to play the Ashes, desperate to make history.
An away tour to Australia is one of those occasions that you're just desperate to be on. You know, look at the position I'm in my career. It could be the last opportunity I get to go. So it's something that you're desperate to do. You're desperate to go and hopefully make history over there and be part of something very special. So, but you know, until we have information, it's very difficult to know where everything sits.
As you can hear, there's no, as I say, there's nothing lukewarm about Joe Root's attitude. By the way, he's only 30. He makes it sound like he's 35. I suppose the next Ashes will be in 34. You never know quite what you'll be doing. He's desperate to go, Harmy. I mean, history's beckoning him.
Players are desperate to go, Manners. If I'm a player in this environment, I'm desperate to go. It's not the same as I'm trying to go through my experiences. It's not the same as what happened out in India when the terrorist attack in Mumbai. We got sent away, come home for 4 or 5 days. We end up in Dubai. And there was a lot of talk during that time. It was a lot of it. The onus was on Harmison and Flintoff. If they go, England go. If they don't want to go, England don't go. And it wasn't like that, nowhere near like that, what the media portrayed. I didn't even speak to Freddie for 5 days about whether it was going. It was an individual decision. But we were desperate to go. I'm desperate to go. I want to go back to play against India. We're going to play in Chennai. We're going to play. We want to go back to help people from India. But we want information to make sure that we're going to be safe going. Are the whole package of India and England cricketers going to be safe when we get to Chennai for the game and everything that goes with it? We want information. Similar to this now, we want information as a player that I can comfortably go over across there, play all 5 test matches, my family do the same and come with me or not come with me, depending on. But I think what the problem is, there's very little information, or concrete information, to steer what is going to happen when England arrive on Australian soil. And that, for me, as a player on the unknown, would be why I'm lukewarm. I'm desperate to go and play. I want to go and play against Australia. I want to go and beat them. Can you imagine being part of that team that beats Australia in Australia? You know, Sir Andrew Strauss's team were magnificent where they played. The team before that, Botham's team in 86, was it? This is history. Joe Root goes in there and wants to make history. So does Josh Butler. So does Jimmy Anderson. They all want to do that. But you need to know what you're going into. And at this minute in time, they don't know what they're going into. And that, from a cricketing point of view, and the human element of it, is why there's a lot of stories about whether it should go ahead or shouldn't go ahead.
The added problem is, do you believe them if they tell you what
absolutely
to expect? They can't organise their own domestic game at the moment. Let's hear now from Malcolm Conn, the chief cricket writer of the Sydney Morning Herald, who I spoke to earlier today. Malcolm, you wrote a fabulous piece in the Sydney Morning Herald in which you made the rather obvious point that the Ashes have been around a lot longer than any individual. You've got 120-odd years of Ashes history. And the idea that the product would somehow be devalued by England sending a weakened team was largely irrelevant. Would that sum it up accurately?
I think I used the word nonsense. It's the Ashes has a fine history for all sorts of things, including people not touring, or in the case of Australia in 1978-79, the entire team not turning up because they were playing World Series cricket. So, and England's never bothered to sort of put an asterisk against sort of Greg Chappell not touring in 1981, or Dennis Lilly and Ian Chappell not touring in 1977, or the entire Australian team missing in 78-79. So I can't see how this is any different. I mean, we hope that they send their best team. We hope that Joe Root comes. We hope that Stokes is able to get back on the park, although it doesn't seem likely. But whoever they send will probably flog them anyway, so it won't make any difference.
Do you really believe that they'll get flogged?
Well, yes, I do, because if you look at the previous two Ashes series, England have lost 9 tests and drawn 1. I think it rained. And haven't won any for a very long time. So I suppose you've got to be a little bit careful with hubris in Australia at the moment, given that Australia bowled India out for 36 in the first test in Adelaide and then went on to lose the series. So that was a bit jarring. But if you just look at England's batting lineup, there's probably only 2 blokes in Root and Stokes who deserve they come. The rest of them should consider themselves lucky if they get picked.
It's interesting that Nathan Lyon said that doing 2 weeks in quarantine before the tour and not seeing family members for 2 months is a small price to pay. It's interesting to me that it's a price that he hasn't had the opportunity to pay and hasn't paid. And in fact, Australia haven't played a test match outside of Australia since the pandemic hit. So does he have a right to say that kind of thing?
Well, no, Australia hasn't been in quarantine in that instance. Players have obviously played overseas in one-day tournaments or the IPL or whatever it might have been. I don't think that's directly affected Nathan. But Nathan, as I understand it, did go through the Ashes tour in 2019 without seeing his family because there was issues there, which he found quite difficult. So that's what he believes, and I can understand it, that the Ashes is a big deal. You don't get many chances to play them, and you take those chances when you can.
You've always been a person, in my experience of the last 25 years, who has actually cared very deeply about well-being of players, mental well-being, and indeed of your colleagues. You're taking a very hard line. I mean, I know that there's a part of you that would be very sympathetic to the hardships that players have been under in the last 18 months.
Oh, I think it's been very difficult, and I think that there are times when the Australians have been bubbled up coming. They were begged by England to go to England and play a one-day series in September last year and went over there. And according to sources at Cricket Australia, that was worth about £80 million to the England Cricket Board. So I'm sure they're very grateful about that. And then when the players came back, they went into 2 weeks of hard quarantine, then came straight out, went into a bubble to play international cricket or state cricket. And then some of them bubbled up again to play in the Big Bash League. So they've certainly done quarantine. They've certainly done bubbles. And it's not easy. I've spoken to a number of players about it, and it's not easy. And I understand any player at any time stepping away. If Joe Root feels, for whatever reason, that he can't come, it'll be a real shame. But I can completely understand that. If he feels that he has to spend time with his family, it's a shame that the Ashes won't have him. But the Ashes will go on. They're bigger than any one player. So while I do sympathise with players in these predicaments and understand that we hope that we wouldn't be going through them by now after 18 months, I just think that life goes on and that those who can do it, and those who can't, don't. But I don't see sitting around whinging about it for days and weeks and months on end is going to do anyone any good.
And Western Australia has always been a state unto itself. There is talk that that playing the fifth test in Perth will be a logistical challenge, if not impossible.
I wouldn't be buying tickets for the fifth test in Perth. Or if you do, I'd be crossing them out and writing Hobart or Canberra on it. I'd be very surprised the way things are going if the fifth test was played in Perth. The Premier, McGowan, won a record majority recently by being a hard taskmaster on borders. And so that sort of hasn't swayed his view on doing anything but being a hard taskmaster on borders. So he's saying they may not open up until April next year. So, and the West Australian Cricket Association realise it's going to be difficult. They look like missing a test for the second year in a row because of COVID and the hard border closure, so which is a shame. Be good to get England on that hard pitch. But Australia will play five tests and they'll find venues to play them at.
And finally, Tim Payne said the Ashes will start whether Joe Root's here or not. Would you say that that's, what, 90%, 95%? What chance do you think that there is a... Well, it's not going to be relocated, is it, the Ashes? But are you as high as 100% certain that they will start and take place on time?
Well, as certain as I can be. I mean, barring an asteroid that's sort of similar to the one that wiped out the dinosaurs, I can't see the Ashes not taking place. That will happen. They may not be, you know, the strongest teams. They may not land exactly where we expect them to land for what's been scheduled. But I'd say, by and large, the Ashes will be played as scheduled, with the possible exception of the Perth.
That was the Sydney Morning Herald's chief cricket writer, Malcolm Conn. He's well known for his pom bashing, and it didn't take him long to get the word whinging in there. He's absolutely bullish to the point of being cocky that the Ashes will go ahead. He says England will get flogged because they've been flogged in the last two series. But Can I just ask you a question? If you were one of the players now, and it's a hypothetical answer maybe, but you can speculate more accurately than I can. If Cricket Australia said, come over, we'll do everything you want or as much as we can in terms of quarantine. But look, we're not quite sure of the itinerary at the moment because, as Malcolm said, you know, there's almost no chance of the Perth Test match taking place. And Adelaide is also seriously in doubt. Do Cricket Australia need to, I mean, if you were a player and they said, come over, we're going to do our best. We're not sure where we're going to be playing. But you know, we'll make a plan.
I would want to know the plan. We would want to know the plan before we go. It's as simple as that, because then we can put, you know, the relevant things in place. Do we take our family? Do we not take our family? You know, are we going to play five games in two venues? That should be sorted by now. Simple as that. This pandemic's not going away. This pandemic's not going away. At this minute in time, Australia don't seem to have a plan. We've mentioned about first-class cricket in their country. Sheffield Shield getting cancelled left, right and centre. So, you know, you're letting foreign people into your country. They don't even let their own nationals into their country at this moment in time. So how can you say, and this all comes down to money. You know, there was an NRL final at the weekend there, 50,000-odd in there in Brisbane. That's fine. Paid the money, they went into the ground. There'll be an Ashes game in Brisbane. Get England in, they'll get 40,000, 30-odd thousand each day. They'll get the money that comes to it. This is all about financial. That's why they need the Ashes. For me, they should have a plan by now. And if it means that, yes, New South Wales can't go into Victoria and Victoria can't, and their premiers are so adamant that their state is going to be secure because of the citizens and we can't let people in, that's fine. If I was the senior spokesman of ECB, to the ECB, I'd say that's fine. Then just make provisions that we go somewhere else. If it means we have to play two tests in Brisbane, two tests in Sydney, and a test in Melbourne, or a test in Hobart, and if the team knew that before they went out, then I think the team would, you know, a larger number would say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm going with that because I know where I'm going. Like what ECB did last year. We're going from Southampton to Manchester. We're going from Manchester to Southampton. Our whole summer is going to be based in these two venues. Both got hotels on. Right, Australia, Pakistan, West Indies. Do you want to come? And can you play under these terms and conditions? They said yes. We had a full summer. At this minute in time, we are, what, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12? Well, I don't know what it is from the Ashes. And we have now got first-class cricket not even being played in Australia because premiers won't let people cross borders. That, as a player, is why I'm turning around to my board, ECB, and saying, we don't even know where we're going. And that's why I'm 100% behind the players at this moment in time when they're hicking about going to Australia because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's 8 weeks. It really is 8 weeks. You know, this was a thought that I've had and you've had for the last couple of weeks, really, certainly over the last couple of days, as the situation ramps up. And Scott Taylor, our producer, put this point to Timmel Mills, which is how much of a distraction will the uncertainty about the Ashes, even if it's confirmed in the next couple of days that they are going and Chris Silverwood picks his squad, there's so much uncertainty, and there will be during the T20 World Cup. So did Timmel Mills think that might be a distraction?
I'd like to think not, that nobody in this team's, you know, young and naive and can get caught up in those things. I wouldn't have thought guys are, you know, well-versed in what's going on. And as you say, it's a World Cup. It's a massive deal. And whilst we are there, I'm sure everybody will be fully dialed in to that. And then, you know, kind of whatever happens after that will happen after that. But yeah, like I've got no doubt that the guys will come together and we'll be fully focused on the World Cup.
Well, he would say that. But it must be a distraction. You touched on the point yourself, is that the multi-format players are going to be packing bags for either a month and a half or 3.5 months.
Yeah, and it will have a little bit on the mind, but not much when it comes to competition time. Practices, that's gone. I've got no interest. You know, I'm running in 22 yards away. Somebody's going to try and whack me out me net. I'm going to have to learn, you know, to get back into the groove of slower balls, bouncers, Yorkers, you name it. I'm doing it. Night times, And, you know, it could keep them entertained for a little bit, to be fair, at night times, because there are going to be discussions and back and forward with the governing body and, you know, your player spokesman and your leader. And your leader is not your leader that's going to Australia, but he's a good man. And I would imagine Owen Morgan, even though he's not going to Australia, will have empathy towards the players that are in this position at this moment in time. But I also think he would have, because he's such a great leader and leadership qualities, he would be there for his players, knowing that, giving them the right sound advice. And also, I would imagine Owen Morgan would be in contact with Joe Root, helping and advising Joe on what's best outcome for the England cricket team going forward. And that, I think, is very, very important, not only for Owen Morgan and the T20 World Club squad, because it's natural, it's human. We're going to have these thoughts about what's going to happen with the Ashes. But he's also going to manage a team to go and win a T20 World Cup with players who have got that hanging over them. So I think Morgan is going to be crucial in that. And I don't think there's a better man to have on your side if you're a Mark Wood, if you're a Joss Butler, Johnny Bairstow, people that are probably multi-format players that are going. I think you've got a good leader at this moment in time with you right now when these decisions are going to be made, even though you're properly, or you are a leader for the tour in Joe Root is going to be back in England.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and the great Steve Harmison. And next up, we'll turn our attention to the T20 World Cup, which starts next week. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can download the podcast, now available on the following on feed, on the free TalkSport app, or wherever you get your podcasts. England have been favourites for the T20 World Cup ever since they won the 50-over World Cup, I think it's fair to say, alongside India. They're very hard to separate those two. I guess the IPL, the fact that the whole Indian squad has been playing in the IPL can give them an advantage. There's only a handful of Englishmen, and poor old Owen Morgan has been desperately short of runs for the Kolkata Knight Riders. But are you still making India and England favourites?
Yeah, I'm still making England and India favourites. I had the West Indies until I seen the squad. I thought the West Indies might have been a handful, but they're going back to how Jason Holder's not in that squad, I do not know. I think it's typical West Indies. But my left field one is, I think Pakistan could take some beating. They're playing T20 at this moment in time. They're playing a lot of cricket, they're Pakistan players. Babar Azam is in a ridiculous form. He got 100 the other week. He got 50 again, I think, this week. Shashin Afridi, another one who's taken wickets out in Pakistan. So for me, they're playing, and they're playing some good cricket. When the show goes out, it's Imran Khan's birthday. And what did he say about wounded tigers and the way Ramiz Raja talked about New Zealand leaving and England leaving and not coming? Pakistan will be really up for the fight in the UAE, wanting to win that tournament. So there'll be a decent price. That would be my outside bet. But I think the team that knocks England out or knocks India out will go on to win it, because I think them two are head and shoulders in white ball cricket ahead of the rest. I think India are favourites, England just second favourites. But, you know, a little bit of luck, a bit of brilliance. That's what T20 needs to win games. And I think England have got players in their group of 15 that have got brilliance all the way through, whether it's, you know, players that coming off the bench that potentially could have a part to play in the latter form of the part of the tournament if somebody isn't hitting their straps. You mentioned the captain. I don't think this will be affecting him too much, what's happening with KKR at this moment in time. I think once he gets three lions back on his chest and he walks out to bat with Butler or Bairstow or players of Roy's class going hard at the top, Owen Morgan needs time when he goes out to the middle. And I think at this minute in time, he's going into firefight quite a bit for KKR. England get off to a good start. Roy smashed it. Bairstow smashes it. Butler smashes it. All of a sudden, it's a different Owen Morgan. So I back the captain. I really do. I think he's going to have a good tournament. I think not just in leadership skills, but I think he will have a good tournament with the bat. I think he's saving his runs for England. So fingers crossed from that point of view. And we've got bowlers who can make a difference. And the one that we've just heard from, and we'll hear from again soon, Tamal Mills. I think that was a great selection. Not only to get him in the squad, but being fit and firing enough to get him in a position to be selected. I think he gives England a whole new dimension when it comes to left arm, quick and bowls at the death.
Well, Josh Butler says that England are in a good place. There's no Ben Stokes, there's no Jofra Archer, but he reckons that they still have the players to win the World Cup.
That's the aim. I think we go there as a side full of confidence. I think 4 years ago, you know, at the sort of start of our cycle in that T20 team, when we managed to get to the final, I think if you look down that list now, guys with a lot of experience, played in a lot of franchise tournaments, whether it's IPL, Big Bash, you bring all that information and experience together for the team that's going to the World Cup now, I think we're in a great spot.
That was Josh Butler speaking with Booking.com, the official accommodation partner of the ICC T20 World Cup. It's been a long time, if ever, actually. I'm just trying to... I wonder, do you think we've ever not spoken, or people have not spoken, not mentioned Australia and South Africa before a World Cup of an ICC event? Because this is the first time we've mentioned them as prospects. So are we completely writing them off?
You can never write Australia off because of the characters that we've mentioned. Yeah, the way I had a go at Tim Payne, but the way Tim Payne came out and spoke, that's what makes Australia, that's what makes them a great nation in all sports, whether it's rugby, whether it's cricket, at all sports, because they have this way of sticking their chest out and believing they're better than anybody else. And sometimes when they make their mouths go, you know, they do tend to say things that, you know, they're very, very bullish. And that, for me, tends to think I wouldn't rule them out. But when you look at, you read what their story is, you know, somebody like Mitchell Starc, he's been travelling around with the women's side because obviously his wife's playing for the Australian side against India. And I think he's had a little bit of bowling, not a great deal of bowling. You know, players have, I think Adam Zampa, he lives something like 400 kilometres from Sydney. You know, he can't get into Sydney to practice.
Byron Bay, the surfing capital of Australia.
Yeah, and he can't. It's on the Queensland border, and he can't get into Queensland to practice. So how is he going to be in the art of wrist spin? So that's just two examples, and they'll have 15 examples like that, and they've got a few in the IPL, but they've not got many. So it's going to be interesting to see what Australia turn up. South Africa, again, a bit like Pakistan. They've been playing a small amount, but not much. And you know, their preparation has been all over the shop. So I still think England and India are just ahead of Pakistan. And I think there could be a team comes out of the qualifying. There really could be a team that comes out of the qualifying and does well because they'll have been playing cricket. Sri Lanka are in the qualifying. That might help Sri Lankan cricket that the player four or five games before they get to the big boys, if they qualify. You know, the Netherlands have got a decent side when it comes to, you know, the emerging nations. Can they come out of the pack, hit the ground running and catch one of the big teams that haven't been preparing well? Because it just needs, like I mentioned before, it just needs a moment of brilliance. Somebody getting 60 off 30 balls, you know, to win a game, blow it to get a 170, 180, which will be too much against a team that haven't been preparing or haven't had a chance to prepare that well, being in quarantine. I think it could be the first few games of the World T20 could be a couple of surprises.
Sri Lanka won't get out of the pre-qualifying. I think they're going to struggle. I said a couple of weeks ago, look out for Namibia. Albie Morkel is part of their setup, and they've had some incredible results. You know, they've beaten a couple of champion South African provincial sides. They've beaten a Zimbabwe and a South African emerging 11, which were very, very strong teams. So look out for Namibia. And you're not prepared to write Australia and South Africa off. I will. I am. Because you need to win 5 out of 7 games minimum. And then you need a really good net run rate. So I think you probably need to win 6 out of 7. And, you know, South Africa have got they've got a very strong bowling lineup with Anric Nokia and Kagiso Rabada and some very good spinners. So they are good at defending, but they lack runs. David Miller hasn't really been playing in the IPL. So Australia, I think, are at their weakest in white ball cricket for 20 years.
Yeah.
You just look at the team, and for the first time in my career, you look at it and there's no one that is intimidating. You know, Mitchell Stark used to be pretty intimidating. You know, he was right at the top of his game. Hasn't been for a number of years now. So I don't think those two have much of a chance at all. Let's hear more from Timmel Mills, who's told TalkSport that he wants to cement his place in the T20 side after his wonderful recall after the injury problems that he's had. He last played for England in 2017. And as I said, he's been speaking to our producer, Scott Taylor, began by discussing that injury record and the need to prove his fitness at the highest level.
I always believed that I was good enough to get back in the mix and play at that level. As I've said in interviews many times, it's just been a case of being able to prove that I was fit enough to kind of be selectable. That's something that I haven't done up until this year. So for me, it was just a case of using the platform that the Blast and the 100 gave me this summer to hopefully prove that I can, you know, back up performances, back up games, and then put in the performances when I can.
What's your mindset heading into the T20 World Cup? Just, you've spoken quite a lot about the journey, about wearing the back braces. All you could do was go out for walks, etc. this time last year. Now you're at a T20 World Cup. So is it a case of I've got nothing to lose, or is there a determination to keep the shirt, or maybe a bit of both?
Yeah, look, I want to play. I want to get in the side. I want to, you know, as all the lads will be, I want to play in every game, but obviously only 11 can play. So, yeah, first job's just to get out there and reintegrate myself back into the team and become part of the squad again. And then once training starts, just give a good account of myself, both, you know, with the ball, you know, fielding, batting, all those other bits as well. So, I'm just looking forward to it. I've worked hard to get here, but you know, now that I'm here, I want to get in the 11 and stay in the 11 and hopefully try and win a World Cup. Obviously, not many players in any sport get the opportunity to go to a World Cup and to play in these tournaments. So I'm really happy to obviously be here, but you know, obviously I'm not just going to settle for being on the plane. I want to try my best to get into the 11 also.
That was Timmel Mills talking to Scott Taylor. Harmy, a lot of people will be listening to this thinking, why the hell haven't they mentioned New Zealand, the Black Caps? Well, there's a good reason for that, because we've got a little clip from their head coach, Gary Stead, who says that their aim at the minimum is to reach the last four.
Every tournament you go in, you go in with high hopes and hope to win games and put yourself in a position to achieve that. I guess our first one is just that's focusing on a game at a time. But the main goal, I think, is to get to that semi-final stage. And if you get there, you know you're only two wins then away from a title. But we're in a tough pool. I genuinely think there's six, seven, eight teams that could win this tournament. And I guess that's good for world cricket as well.
That was New Zealand's Black Caps coach, Gary Stead. I think he's being conservative. I mean, yeah, everybody wants to reach the top, the semi-finals, obviously. But I just wrote a piece, actually, a couple of days ago about the Black Caps. I was looking at their squad. And any team that can afford to leave Colin Munro out is, I mean, they have got every single base double covered.
Yeah, they have. And they probably are the fourth place side in my group with Pakistan, New Zealand. They've got a fantastic side. You know, Trent Bolt, probably the pick of the IPL seamers over the last 4 or 5 years, I would say, from Mumbai Indians. And this guy fronts up when the big occasion comes. We've seen it for New Zealand, but we've also seen it in the IPL in 2020. You know, they're a very, very good together unit. You wouldn't say they've got massive, like, superstars, you know, going to crash the ball sixes and fours. But all of a sudden, you play against New Zealand, you play against 11 men of New Zealand, you play a collective New Zealand. You mentioned all bases covered. They've got all 20 overs covered with the ball, and they've got what they need with the bat to get them with a score. So, and when you're in the field, you know, you feel as though you're playing against the whole unit. So typical New Zealand, and I think if they get off to a good start, they've got a chance to go. It's all about the start for me, Manners, because not a lot of players have been playing because of what's been happening in the world with a pandemic. So for me, it's all about the start. And T20 is such a game where you have players that can get on a roll. It's very, very difficult to stop these teams. You know, all of a sudden, an opening batsman comes out, gets 50 off 30 balls in his first game, gets 50 off sort of 30 balls in his second game, and then goes on to get 70, 80, 90 or 100 in the next game. Well, that batsman should, in theory, win the game for his side. And you know, New Zealand have got them players at the top of the order that can do that.
Yeah, they do. And they've got a history of using South Africans much better than South Africa do. They've got Glenn Phillips and Devon Conway at the top of the order. They're very, very capable of scoring very quickly.
We can't laugh because we've used South Africans very well in our history of our cricket. So sitting here with a 2005 memorabilia behind me, and if it wasn't for a certain South African, it might have been gone back to Australia.
Let's turn our attention to county cricket now, and we've had a lot of fun and satisfaction covering the championship this year. Now, there's a proposal from the ECB which has been put to the counties to run the Royal London One Day Cup alongside the 100 next season, which will make things a little less congested. The counties, I understand, wanted a return to two divisions, 10 in the first division, 8 in the second with promotion relegation. And they wanted that next year, but they were persuaded that COVID is still likely to be a factor, as you said, you know, in 6 months' time. So the proposal is that we go back to two divisions in 2023. And the future of the Bob Willis Trophy is uncertain, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Your thoughts, first of all, about the proposal to the counties, which it looks like they will accept.
Yeah, I think the Royal London going alongside the Royal London, I thought, was great to get young players playing, get them playing in front of a crowd, more of a crowd than you would get them in first class cricket, playing a bit more high pressure cricket because it's one day stuff and it's a bit it's faster. I like to try and test the temperament of young players in one day cricket, because you have to think quickly, you have to react. And then you have to, you know, your skill sets have got to be constantly evolving very, very quickly in a 50-over game. I didn't like the fact that they were going to play the 100, they were going to play the championship the same time as the 100. I think there's a lot more skill to play in four-day cricket. I think mentally you've got to be a lot more tougher. And I think from a development point of view, I think a lot more players that play 100 would play first-class cricket as well. So I think you'd be devaluing first-class cricket in the country. So I'm pleased they've held back off that. I didn't like the three conferences when it went to the second part, which was the last four games. I didn't mind it for the first 10. I think the point system for the last four games has to change. You know, there was more onus on the last four as it was at the first 10. You know, I look at, for example, my team, Durham, you know, the only team to beat the county champions. And there was less points. No, the points weren't, I just didn't like the way it was on that. And I think if that changes, that could be for the better. I'd rather go back to two divisions. I really would, because I thought when it comes to the last four games, there was, 12 sides playing for nothing. Bob Willis Trophy, I want to see that stay. I really do. Unfortunately, this year, the game was gone in the first hour. By 12 o'clock on day one, 12 for six, game's gone, history. You can't just kick something into touch because of an hour of madness by a team who got blown away, condition suited, Warwickshire to go and knock Lancashire over. I thought the year before was a fantastic final, you know, between Somerset and Essex. One of the greatest players that's ever played the game for England got 100 in that final. So I'd like that to stay. I really would. Money talks. You know, can they get a sponsor? Can they put a financial reward on it, which makes it a better contest? You know, not so much a better contest, a more powerful contest. And another thing, having worked with a great man, it would be so disrespectful to the man himself, Bob Willis, for it to be scrapped after 2 years. I would hate that to happen. I really would. For what he did for the country from a playing point of view, for what he did for the country from a broadcasting point of view, for that to be scrapped after 2 years, for me, would be horrendous. I would hate that to happen. I really would. Yeah, for me, I want it to stay because I want it to be a spectacle for the great man. And, you know, fingers crossed it can be.
Quick shout out to Luke Fletcher, who was won the County Championship Player of the Year award for his 66 wickets at 15. To Harry Brook, who won the Young Cricketer of the Year award, and to Sophia Dunkley, who's had a terrific season with Surrey, the South East Stars, and the Southern Brave, of course, in the Women's 100. Final word this week goes to Michael Holding, just because it's so wonderful to listen to his voice. He was presented with the Cricket Writers Club Peter Smith Award, which recognises an outstanding contribution to the presentation of cricket to the public. And this is what the great man had to say about the ECB and their decision to pull out of the tour to Pakistan.
They were going for 4 days. Pakistan went to England before vaccines were available for 6 or 7 weeks, something like that. They quarantined for 2 weeks in a Mickey Mouse hotel. I don't want people to think that they were desperately in a very bad hotel, but it wasn't the hotel that they were promised where they were very comfortable. They stayed, they played their cricket. They were in this bubble, which I was in that bubble. You were in that bubble, Ali. And yes, it wasn't fantastic, but it was better than going out into the society where we know COVID was and without any vaccinations available to anyone. And yet they stayed, they played, they honored what England wanted them to honor to save England's butt, put it mildly. So did the West Indies. And then you have an opportunity now to try to repay to a small degree what Pakistan did. What that signal sends to me is the same Western arrogance. I will treat you how I feel like treating you. It doesn't matter what you think. I will just do what I want. 4 days in Pakistan, I'm absolutely sure they would not have done that to India. But you know why, Ali? Because India is rich and powerful. This game is not being managed by the people responsible for managing the game. What they are trying to do is manage the money that the game can bring in, not the game. And that is very disappointing. I am very disappointed in it. I'm very disappointed in people running it and people managing it. And I won't miss it when I go.
That was a great Michael Holding speaking to the Cricket Writers Club. He didn't hold back. Did he? He's never been a fan of T20 cricket and has never commentated on it. Not once. But is that what he was referring to, do you think? The growth, yeah, and the preeminence of T20 cricket?
I think he was. And he says he doesn't like the way the world of cricket is going. Unfortunately, that's where the money is going, Mikey. And whether you like it or not, this is reality. And you know, when you listen to people like that talk, yeah, it is quite alarming because of what he's seen over the course of a 20, 30-year commentary career, which is a magnificent one at that. And, you know, you're talking about pulling out of Pakistan. He might have a point, to be fair, Manus. He might just have a point.
Yes, I think he does. To hear more of Michael Holding, by the way, you can listen back to the My Sporting Life episode he did with Danny Kelly, which was released on the following on feed on Friday. So do check that out. That's all we've got time for, Harmy. Thank you once again for for leading this week. You've been listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. Don't forget to subscribe for more content like this. If you missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can download the podcast, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back at the same time next week. This has been The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.